So I want to talk about our theme today. I think through our worship, our confidence in God, our confidence in the Word of God, the greatness of our God. And David happened to write a psalm that kind of goes along with this theme. So I don't know about you. Have you ever been guilty by association, that you just happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time among the wrong people doing the wrong thing? All right? When I was in Bible college, we had a 12-story dorm. We lived on the 10th dorm, and we had a suite. We were two for each room, and we shared a bathroom with four of us guys. And so I happened to walk up in our room one day, and my suite mate and the guy next door, they were looking out the window, and so I was kind of wondering what they were up to. And what they were doing was they were filling plastic bags, you know, you get at Walmart, the grocery store, and they were filling them with water and throwing them out the window. And so I just happened to look out the window at the same time they did, as they were dropping one. And it happened to be our dorm director was down below, and he saw all three of us. And so all three of us kind of got in a little bit of trouble. And guilty by association. I didn't touch a bag, didn't fill a bag, didn't throw a bag. Completely innocent, but guilty by association. So we're going to look at Psalm 23 today, and I think this psalm is guilty by association because it is probably the most renowned psalm, wouldn't you say, that most people have, whether they're in church or out of church, if they've gone to a funeral, a memorial service, a gravesite, they have heard the reading of Psalm 23. And the thing is, rarely do we ever hear about Psalm 23 in a church service. Some people read it. Some denominational churches read it probably on a regular basis. But the only time that most ministers talk about Psalm 23 is during a funeral. And I think because it is probably 80, 90% of funerals have that psalm read, I think we kind of have in our mind, why should I preach on something that somebody hears kind of often? And so I believe we kind of miss the value of this psalm that David wrote. And I don't think David had that in mind. I know that it wasn't written as a dirge. And I named this sermon a psalm for life. It's a testimony of David's life. It's about the goodness of the Lord in his life, not just when we're in the valley of the shadow of death, but it's for every day. And so we're going to take a look at that beginning here this Sunday. Whether I go on from here, I don't know. We'll see the leading of the Spirit. I couldn't get off of verse 1. So we're kind of stuck on that here today. But I believe there's a lot of depth in that. And I believe there's a lot of understanding that we kind of breeze through when we just read Psalm 23. So David wrote this in the present tense. The Lord is my shepherd. And as you go through that, he is using the present tense, because he's sharing his testimony of something that God is doing in his life on a regular basis. It wasn't just a one-time thing that we have a testimony of how we got saved and that was kind of it. No, this is a continuation of a testimony of how God is presently working in his life, past, present, and hopefully in the future. So David wrote from a personal experience. He wrote comparing God to a shepherd. And how many know that if you were a shepherd, it wasn't a sissy job? And so we're going to look at this today. And we recognize today that David was a good king. The Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. God made a covenant with David, saying that if you serve me all the days of my life, there will be a member of your family that will be on the throne for all eternity. That's a pretty good covenant to make. But David was also a man of war. He shed blood. We also know he was a man that made a lot of mistakes. And how many know he made some doozies, right? And yet we extol him as one of our great spiritual leaders, but we see a flawed life that God used in a tremendous way. And so we're going to look at Psalm 23. And as I said, it's a psalm for the living, because it gives us hope, it gives us assurance, and it is the ultimate victory that we have as we finish Psalm 23. You'll see that we will dwell in his house, what? Forever. Isn't that our goal? To dwell in the house of the Lord forever? And so let's take a look at that here today. So as we go through this, David correlates God with being a shepherd. And we know that it bleeds over into the New Testament because who is the great shepherd in the New Testament? Jesus Christ. And in Hebrews chapter 13, it says this. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good. Listen to this. Equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So God wants to do good things in us according to his will. He wants to work in us and through us. And that's what Psalm 23 is all about. So we're going to look at Psalm 23. We're only going to look at the first couple of verses as we get started here. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Father, we just ask that you would just bless your word here this morning. I pray that the seeds of what the Holy Spirit wants to accomplish will be planted, will be watered, and maybe even the harvest will take place here this morning. And so, Lord, we're excited about your word. We're excited about what it can do in us and through us. And so, Lord, we're just saying, ignite something within us. As we have been talking about the new year, I ask, Lord, that this could possibly be something that we could make a resolution about here this morning as we leave this place. And I pray in the name of Jesus, and everybody said, amen. So I began to look at this, and I just want to look at the first phrase here. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. And I would just want to look at the word Lord here this morning. This word Lord is the word Yahweh. It is a word that the Jews wouldn't even speak. They wouldn't even spell it correct. They took the vowels out, and it was something that they considered sacred. Why? Because it was a name that God gave Moses at the burning bush. When Moses said, who do I tell him who's sending me? He said, tell him Yahweh, the Lord is sending them. And so as we look in the New Testament, it doesn't carry over. It's not the same word, but it's the same emphasis. And we see that Jesus introduced people by a personal name. He said, my Father. It was a shock to them that Jesus would claim God as his Father. And in the Hebrew language, it's Abba, right? Abba, Father. And we are called as the children of God to come before him, crying out, Abba, Father, right? And so we have that, it's a personal name. And as we look at this, we see Yahweh, or Lord, we see it's usually translated, I am. But a better translation is, I will be. So what God was saying to Moses is, I am who I am, or I will be who I will be. And so as we look at this, we see it's not just for the present, but it's for all time. It's for the future as well. And as I said, it's a continuous action here that's taking place. I am. I will. It is something that starts and doesn't end. It includes our present, and it includes our future. So Yahweh is not just a name. It is not just a noun. It is also a verb. How many know some have taken names out of context? Like my wife's beloved name is Karen. And how many know that it is used as a verb these days? Don't be a Karen, right? Right? My beloved wife, I love her. Amen. And behind her back, the kids at school call her Karen. But anyway. But Yahweh is just that way. It was something that he gave to Moses and said, this is who I am. I'm not just here today and gone tomorrow. I'm here for all time. So the full meaning of what he was telling Moses at the burning bush is, I will show you who and what I am by who and what I will be to you. For I will be with you. And I just want to repeat that because this is what you need to understand here this morning, what David is saying. We need to understand that God is our Lord. He is Yahweh. I will show you who and what I am by who and what I will be to you, for I will be with you. And so sometimes this word Yahweh is translated the eternal. So that's pretty good, huh? He's eternal. The past, the present, the future, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the eternal God. So if you... We don't want to miss David's meaning in what he's saying here in the very first two words of this psalm. So God is who you need him to be, and God is what you need him to be. Who and what? He is everything you need. I don't know about you. I don't know if you need a deliverer. I don't know if you need a provider, a healer, but he is who he is here this morning. We are not here to create God in our image. If we look at that, we could kind of say, you know, if I take that out of context, I can say God's whatever. But God is who you need him to be. God is what you need him to be. It's kind of personal. It's kind of individual. Let me just say this. We see God in different manners. We know what the Bible says about God, right? We read it. We can all agree on some of the things. But how many know we perceive God in a different lens from one another? Because God has worked in our life in different capacities within our life. If you needed a healer, if you needed a deliverer, if you needed love, if you needed grace, if you needed discipline, God comes into our life and gives us those things that we need. You see, we have a personal, individual interpretation of how we see God because we see God through our experience. And so your perspective of God may be a little bit different from mine. Yes, there are absolutes in the Word of God that we can agree on. But there are aspects of God that I see that maybe you don't see because he didn't work in your life like he worked in my life. We don't want to take God and make an image in our mind or our hearts or a physical image of who we think he should be. He is the potter. We are the clay. He is not the clay that we form God in our own image. And how many know by just listening to radio, to TV, to individuals, we see that a lot of people have made God in an image that they have created. We cannot put God in the box. Because when you put him in the box and you open the box, God is not there. We also are told in the second commandment, we are not to make a physical image, but we're not also to make a mental image of who God is because it can trip us up. But David kind of comes along and says, this is how I view God because of my experience. I was a shepherd and I see God as a shepherd. Because what I had to do and how I lived, he could see that same thing in God and what God wanted to do in his life. The Lord is my shepherd. David goes on to say, the Lord, we understand the Lord. What we say the Lord was, the meaning is, I will show you who and what I am by who and what I will be to you, for I will be with you. I am who I am. I will be who I will be. That is who our God is. But David goes on to say, this God who said that is my shepherd. David goes on and says, because he is my Lord, I have all I need. Think about it here today. If God is your Lord, if Jesus Christ is your Lord, you have absolutely everything you need. That is a bold statement. And that's what David's saying here. The Lord is my shepherd. I understand who he is. I am who I am. I will be who I will be. He understands that with God, there is nothing impossible. So if we understand the lordship of Jesus Christ, we understand we have all we need. Do you agree with that? All right. We have all we need in the person of Jesus Christ. And so we need to, I got looking at this, and how many know sometimes you write stuff and you don't even know what you wrote? And it's like, the more you look at it, the more confused you become. This is one of those things. So I'm going to confuse you as much as I'm confused, all right? So there's this word understood and understand, right? There's this past and the present, all right? We need to have an understanding of who God is. So today, if I get a new concept and a revelation of God, tomorrow, it means I understood. But today, I understand. So, you know, in our lives, we go from experience from experience. We can read about healing. We can read about deliverance. We can read about all the different things that maybe you have need in your life. We may have an understanding that, yes, God is that God. But how many know that when you come face to face with that thing, sometimes we don't understand what we thought we understood because it's being challenged? That's confusing, isn't it? So what we need to do is, David understood the Lord. He understood past concept. Therefore, God could be his shepherd today because he had an understanding of who God was in his life. So the past determines my present. Our understanding of who he is determines our future. If today you are ill in body and you need a healer, and you really have not walked through the concept of healing, and you get that concept, you don't necessarily receive it. You use it. Well, I'll just move on. All right, because I'm confusing myself. All right. But do you understand where I'm going with this? All right. He understood because he was Lord, that he was a shepherd. He could do whatever. All right. So when we learn something, we put into practice in the future, right? Isn't that true? We look back at that point. If I don't know him as Lord, I won't trust him as my shepherd. You understand that? David understood him as Lord, therefore he could understand him as a shepherd. So David understood the lordship of God and presently was experiencing God's presence and blessings in his life. Because David understood the lordship of God and had been a shepherd, he was able to relate the Lord to being a shepherd. Oh, I'll move on from there because, man, I'm digging a hole. All right. So if we go to the New Testament, we kind of have a faith builder here because we also know that Jesus was a shepherd. So in John 10, we can kind of maybe see that Jesus may have had in his mind Psalm 23 when he began to teach that he was the good shepherd. So in John chapter 10, verse 11, it says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd, what's he do? Lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees a wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Jesus again says in verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. And so I can say that David knew the shepherd. He knew the Lord. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So Jesus, with three chapters later in John 13, he would say to his disciples who were gathered around for the Passover meal, you call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. One of the tenets of our faith is Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. This is something we use when we're trying to convince somebody to follow Jesus Christ. It says there in that verse, Romans 10, 9, it says, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. So Yahweh in the Old Testament was the personal name of God. In the New Testament, you can see the word up here, Kyrios, is the personal name of each person of the Godhead that we find in the New Testament. And so we kind of see a carrier. They didn't call God Yahweh in the New Testament. It was in a different language, for one. One is Hebrew, one is Greek. But as we look at this verse, this is Romans 10, 9, and 10, it says, salvation can only be received by faith. Do you agree with that? Right? It's an act of faith. We confess him as Lord. We recognize his lordship before we receive his salvation. Think about it. You cannot be saved without recognizing Jesus' lordship. We have people running around today saying, I'm saved, but there has been no life change. They are doing the same thing they've always done, but yet they say, I'm a Christian. And you look at the fruit of their life and you say, huh. Right? So we confess him as Lord. We recognize his lordship before we receive his salvation. Believing comes before confession. He lays it out in this scripture. Lack of confession indicates a lack of faith and refusal of his lordship. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1:20, it says, for all God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ. So all the promises are in the fulfillment of Jesus Christ. When we accept Jesus Christ, guess what? We inherit all the promises. They become ours. Why? Because he is Lord. You can't have the promises without the lordship. We have people running around saying, well, God's not answering my prayer. God's not doing this. Is he Lord of your life? David understood that he could not be shepherded by God if he was not his Lord. So maybe some of the things in our life that are going on, even as people in the church, is that we haven't allowed him to take the reins of our life, to be Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. That is an incredible scripture. And how we just breeze over that. And verse 2 says, he lets me, or causes me, to rest in green meadows. He leads me beside the peaceful streams. He renews or restores my strength. He guides me along the right paths, bringing honor to his name. Or the King James says, for his name's sake. What we want you to see in this scripture here, David is exalting God because God is the main subject of this psalm. He starts out with God. Not what God will do, but with God. The Lord is my shepherd. God is the one who is acting. God is the one who is doing something. He lets me. He leads me. He renews me. He guides me. It's for his name's sake. We need to come to the place, will we let God be Lord? Because he desires to be your shepherd. Solomon penned quite a bit in the Proverbs. We look at Solomon's life sometimes and we kind of scratch our head, and I pray we'll see him in heaven. But he had a lot of Proverbs that said the fear of the Lord. Is this, that, whatever. The fear of the Lord. The fear is not a fear of being afraid of him, scared, standing in a corner waiting for him to whop you. That's not the fear we're talking about. But it's a fear, it's an honor, it's a respect. And I just want to put in here maybe the word understanding. Proverbs 1:7 says the understanding of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 9:10, the understanding of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 10:27, the understanding of the Lord adds length to life. Proverbs 14:27, The understanding of the Lord is a fountain of life. Proverbs 16:6, through the understanding of the Lord, evil is avoided. How many know, walking with God, we don't want to do bad, right? Proverbs 19:23, the understanding of the Lord leads to life. Proverbs 22:4, humility is the having an understanding of God and knowing our place and His place. Proverbs 29:25, whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. Because we understand the lordship of God, guess what? He wants to be our shepherd. In some of those areas of our life we're really seeking answers for, maybe it's because He's saying, I want to be Lord. Last week we talked about making a New Year's resolution, which turns into a New Year's, which results in evolution, right? This is what we want to see happen in our life. We have a pianist. There is a cause and effect, what David's sharing here today. We want all the benefits of the shepherding that we find in Psalm 20, all those, the rest of the verses. We want all those things. We want to experience all those things. But David said it all begins with making Him Lord, recognizing Him as Lord. Psalm 23 might be a good resolution for us here today. It may be something that we need here this morning to resolve in our own hearts that maybe we haven't given Him completely the control He desires in our life. We're quite independent people. And as Americans, we have a mindset that I can do whatever I want. That I'm free to do whatever I want. But that's not freedom. Because when you operate in your freedom, you're stepping on my freedom. There is a freedom in Jesus Christ. And that freedom only comes when we make Him Lord of our life. What are some of the things you're looking for God to do in your life? Some of those things that you're looking for, answers to some of your prayers. Maybe it's because we haven't given Him that place, untied His hand, took Him out of the box, and said, Lord, You be Lord. Yes, I want to be shepherd. We all want to be shepherd. We all want the blessings. We all want the promises. But He wants to be Lord. Salvation is about having a Lord and Savior. Not just a Savior. Not just a Savior. The 23rd Psalm contains nuggets of truth that can liberate us. So can you be an accountant today? Can you be a bookkeeper today? Can you move this psalm from the death column, just being a eulogy that we read, part of a eulogy we read at a funeral, maybe your funeral, to the life column, where it is a declaration of your faith today? From being a debit to being a credit. It is a psalm that has blessed many people, has comforted many people in the deepest, darkest times of their life. It wasn't written as a dirge. It's part of a eulogy. It was written for everyday life. God, through David, shared what He wants to be to us and what He wants to do for us. I will show you, the word Yahweh, I will show you who and what I am by who and what I will be to you. What do you need him to be? Who do you need him to be? For I will be with you. What an assurance we have today. He is with you. He's with you. He wants to be Yahweh. Maybe you're here this morning and there's some things going on in your life and you'd love for us to pray with you. We have a number of people glad to pray with you this morning. We're just going to invite you to come forward. Let us pray with you, encourage you this morning. Maybe you need to come to the place where you need to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Maybe you've never done that. It's just a simple act of faith. We read it earlier in our scripture, right? If we declare with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's as simple as that. But it means you make him Lord. You make him the boss. Father, we come to you today with hearts of gratitude, knowing, God, that this psalm, Lord, is for us here today and what we're going through. It's not just part of something we do at funerals, Lord, but it's something we can live throughout the day. So, Lord, we ask today not only to make you our shepherd, but we want you to be Lord. Lord, there are maybe those who have been missing out on the blessings that come from following you because they haven't made you completely Lord. Where you're at this morning, make an altar where you're at this morning. Recommit yourself to him and say, Lord, you are Lord. Not just the King, not just the Savior, you are Lord. Anybody who calls on the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. Today is the day of salvation.